Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Hike. Every 2 years, Milwaukee hosts an internationally renowned competition for young early career pianists called Piano Arts. Since last Wednesday, the students have been performing in a series of recitals, and tomorrow evening, the finalists will take the stage to compete for the top prizes.
But the week is not just for the competitors. There is a series of public events as well, including tonight's performance at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center in Brookfield by two of the three jurists who are deciding this year's winners. Anne Schein is one of those judges. She's had a long and distinguished career and is a specialist in the music of Frédéric Chopin, and she joins me in the studio to talk about her work and what she looks for in young competitors. Welcome to the show.
It's wonderful to be here. I'm thrilled. This is a very well-known city, well-known arts center, and to be involved in helping young people and seeing what you're doing here is really inspiring.
Well, we're inspired by having you here, too, and I know we're going to get a concert from you Monday evening, but before we talk about what you're going to play, I do want to talk about the other reason you're here, which is what you mentioned, the fact that Piano Arts every 2 years has this wonderful competition for young pianists, pianists at the very beginning of their career. How difficult is it now for people at that age compared to when you were starting out? Are there fewer venues for them to actually perform?
Well, I say very often with our culture today and our world today, I don't remember a more difficult time for young people looking to the future. It's very confusing. There are no quick answers. You don't just practice hard and play in Carnegie Hall. It is a whole media change, technology change, concentration change. Families are not so into home music as they once were, maybe if I can say 50 years ago. I remember when I began to teach at Peabody Conservatory, I was already 40 years old. I had not had a job teaching before, but it only took one exciting student, my first one, to get me completely hooked. And I would say out of the 21 years that I taught there, I could split it in two halves. The first half, fabulous talents, hard workers, serious kids, knew where they wanted to go much more than now. And then the technology came in. Now, that's not always a bad thing, but it was very evident that the practice time and the patience and the long-range thinking and dreams were kind of shattered in a way. And today, I think it's even more confusing. There's such a global reach for classical music, but is there? It's a question. So it's the individual talent, the individual, I always emphasize the strength of their character in this world, and the bewildering amount of news that comes at us all the time. I think it's the most difficult period for young aspiring students that I remember in my experience.
The other thing I think that's happened along with all of that is there are fewer and fewer places that are programming classical music. There are fewer places for people to find jobs to actually perform.
And I think the self-promotion is a big thing. If people have imagination, they can maybe make a blog, like Jeremy Denk has a great blog. And this is a creative area that not every music student is going to have. But when they do have it, it could add dimensions to their own personality and individuality, which is what we're looking for. Individuality. Imagination.
I was going to say, too, the other thing that has changed is that the record companies have completely changed. The idea of having an A&R person coming out to and then nurturing you along and helping you do the publicity, that doesn't really seem to exist anymore, except maybe people who are at the very top of the heap.
I had, in my experience, a most miraculous happening when an A&R engineer who had studied with my Peabody teacher, Mieczysław Munz, great Polish pianist and teacher at Peabody, he came to find Munz to get him to record for then the Cap Record Company, who had made a great deal of money with their more popular area, with Roger Williams, with Jane Morgan, and now they wanted four classical pianists. So this young A&R man, wonderful, gifted man, came to my teacher to try to get him to make one of these records. I had just performed a concerto, and he had the tape. He said, no, I'm not performing, but would you listen to this then 16-year-old? And the engineer was very enthusiastic and said, I would like Hurst, one of the four, now. And my wise teacher said, no, you can't have her. I will think of it in 2 years if you want to come back. And he did come back. So that was my beginning, was the recording at its zenith. The LPs and the record stores, and people listened to the radio and recordings and collected. We have a collection that I'm not sure my children will be able to handle when we're not there. It's so huge, but it is rich. And, of course, it's not there now. CDs are there, and self-made CDs are going strong if promoted well. It can be very helpful, but it is completely changed. However, what for me is very comforting, we're helping young people with music that does not change. It's universal, it's art, and it's not subject to fads, fashion, media. Nothing's going to change a Beethoven Opus 111. There it is. We were talking at lunch about the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven. It has surely the same effect as it always has. And this is what we're trying, us old folks, teaching to emphasize to the young people, that they are touching works of art that are real truth. And they don't change. The world may change, but they're on a long road with this music. It's not going to come overnight. It's the patience today that is at a premium also.
I love the visual image of being on the journey with the music. Mm. And that is true. It is a lifetime journey, right, of interacting with the music,
yes,
that you have the passion for. And as you say, that passion exists whether you're 13 or 83. It doesn't really matter. It's just whether you have the opportunity at 13 to continue with that journey.
And I think those of us who have reached this terribly old age can be good examples that they can have a long life, and that it doesn't stop or achieve something or make it by 20 or in the early years. It's only part of the way. And my incredible fortune was going to a teacher. I had wonderful teachers my parents chose for me. But the one at 13 at Peabody, the great Polish pianist, said to my parents, I think I see a long life in music. And are you willing to do what I think is necessary to put the right foundation down? And that was 5 years plus. Of course, they said, no question. And I thought it was normal because my family made me feel normal about it, but it certainly wasn't normal. And I don't know too many individual teachers that will devote 5+ years to a student in that way. And it's the only reason I play today, is the foundation that he put down, that he had a vision. I don't know what gave him the vision, because I don't think I played all that well at 13. I just did my thing. But my parents always felt that whatever the age, you are what you are at that age, and it's a beautiful thing. It isn't the end result at all. It's where you are at that moment. And frankly, I'm playing a lot of the same music that I played when I was a teenager and was taught beautifully. I didn't know what they meant, the works. I had no idea of the depth. But as I go on, and I can still play at some point, I don't know if it's the same or not, but all I know is that this great music keeps giving. And every phase of performing these so-called same works unfolds more. And that is a thrill that I try very hard to convey to students, and I do have a passion like a missionary for young people today.
Which is why you're here, to be on the jury for Piano Arts. And you mentioned earlier that you're looking, in addition to the passion and that some that connection to the music, you're also looking for individuality.
Yes.
And can you talk a little bit about what you mean by that in terms of the music and how they approach it?
Well, I would say we're looking for fine guidance. We can tell technically if there's been enough patience to have a clear picture. For instance, it's always fascinated me that the famous lessons that Liszt gave to finished artists, he said, "I don't want any dirty laundry here." And he picked all artistic, finished, virtuoso, great musician people in Weimar. No dirty laundry. But that takes a lot of time. And it develops at different paces with different students. So the teachers have to have patience, too, for the individual. But in a competition, what I find difficult is that we are forced to compare. And we don't hear one person at their maximum. We hear a great many. And I have a particular, this was my teaching experience with juries and auditions, which is like a competition, of course, of writing like shorthand everything I can write down as they're playing so that I can refer to it. And those details can make a very great difference in the end result. I enjoy it for that reason, because some things are better than others, some pieces, but something stands out if the imagination and that excitement comes through. Perhaps it's an interpretation you've never thought of or heard before, and that's where the teachers, those of us who are privileged to teach, learn a lot. Perhaps we didn't play it that way, but they have given an insight in their talent that is just fantastic for the teachers. It's a, you know, things that people say all the time that you learn the most as teachers, but I do believe it, because every student that comes in has their own voice, and we're looking for that individual voice, at least I am, and I'm sure my colleagues are.
Anne Shine is a member of the 2018 Piano Arts Jury. She's also teaching master classes and performs a concert this evening at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield. There's more information about her and about Piano Arts at WUWM.com. The music we're hearing, by the way, was performed by Anne Shine. It's Chopin's Sonata No. 3 in B minor, which she will perform tonight.